6 o'clock in a parking lot, and the sun comes down like a wave on the water. Like a wave on the water. Tide coming in, coasting through life.
Welcome to another episode of Jen in Her Jammies with me, Marvin Schneider, and the very dynamic Jen Ward. We've got little Jen and Gunther. What a pleasure to have them.
Hi, Marvin. Hi, everyone. It's nice to be here with you.
Very good.
So we're going to do a serious topic, so get ready for people to unsubscribe.
Okay. Well, hopefully not, but this one will be it's going to be a very interesting topic dealt with from quite a different vantage point. And so do you want to introduce what the topic's going to be, or do you want to get straight into it?
Well, the reason I want to do this topic is I see very sincere people on TV who think this topic, who are like fighting tooth and nail in a direction that's not, they're being duped in a such a way, they're being used, controlled by this one topic that's causing so much problems in the world. And it's like, somebody's got to speak out, and nobody's speaking out about it, and nobody's explaining the real thing that happens. So I want to explain from a spiritual point of view, the whole dynamic, so people can, because what happens when people hear the topic, they don't listen. They just react and then they shut down.
So can I just say a couple of things? One is, on this podcast, we're typically not taking points of view or position on social commentary. So we're not making social commentary. What we're doing is we are discussing a topic area from a alternative vantage point. Is that okay? And so we are not taking a specific position, just providing an understanding from a different vantage point.
But here's the thing. You say that and stuff, but people are hunkered down to their truth. Now, I know the truth. I know the absolute truth for me. And everybody's absolute truth is for them. But the problem is when people want to inflict their absolute truth on everybody else's absolute truth. We're not trying to do that. I'm trying to give people who don't have an understanding, who want to understand, give them more information so they can make up their own mind. I'm not trying to sway anybody one way or the other.
That's a good way of describing what I was describing, that our purpose here is not to promote social commentary for the purposes of trying to influence. So we're saying the same thing.
But I'm trying to help people who are lost in the, who are being manipulated by the topic. Everyone's so intrigued. What is the topic?
What's the topic?
Be manipulated by the topic and then being controlled by it. Because there is psychic energy of control that's influence. And then people pray on this topic, and when a group of people pray for a particular outcome, it's no longer spiritual, it's psychic energy, it's black magic. Anytime you get a group together to control an outcome in a way that's like limiting. So you could say people who meditate on world peace are doing it.
So it's different when you're doing it for the purposes of upliftment.
Yes, and you're not putting conditions on it. But if you, but if you're praying so everybody out there doesn't have abortions, because abortions are evil in your mind, then you're directing psychic energy, and it is black magic.
Okay, so the title of this episode is Quality of Life.
Yeah.
And we are talking about quality of life in the context of abortion.
Okay, so, and I'm the perfect person to talk about it because I have, like, a lot of people who talk on this say they're speaking for the unborn.
Yep.
But they're not, because I would have been a great candidate for an abortion, and I would have been just happy if I didn't have to land in the family I was. My father had to go to confession every time he pulled out. Do you know what that means?
Oddly enough, I do know what that means.
Okay. So every time he wanted to pull out because they didn't want to have another baby, he had to go to confession. And so it was considered a mortal sin every time he pulled out. And they had, they ended up having 10 children. And my mother had a hellish, she had 3 nervous breakdowns. She mentally unbalanced, systemic alcoholism, narcissism, deprivation, poverty. And they actually used the fact that they had a lot of children as leverage to get sympathy and to borrow things and to get clout. Yeah. But as far as a voice for the unborn, well, I was the unborn that was forced to be born. And it's like, you guys didn't do me any favors to make me incarnate into a family where there was not enough food, not enough love, not enough nurturing, nothing.
Yep.
And it's like, sure, I have a physical skin. But if you would have let me just be aborted, I wouldn't have had this person who hated me. I wouldn't have been surrounded by the enemy. I could have landed, had a better soft landing into an incarnation where I didn't have so many people hate me.
Okay. So, and you and I agreed prior to hitting the record button that I will be taking the, I'll be asking the tough questions on this one. And so the questions that I'm asking are not personal or attacking. They are simply, they're important questions to ask. So in relation to what you just said about, you know, you were a candidate to be aborted, and then you wouldn't have been born into the circumstance that you were.
Mm-hmm.
What about the understanding, and I'm going to just throw it out there, that for one reason or another, you had some kind of a pre-birth agreement that this was to happen, and that that experience was a necessary precondition for the work that you're now doing. How do we think about that?
That's a good one. So
thank you.
Agreements are made by individuals. They're not forced upon people. If we're a free people, the mother, I don't always call her my mother, I call her the mother. The mother was able, if she was free within her belief system, to make an agreement not to have me, she would have. She actually did try to abort us with a hanger. She did my sister a couple times. And then she felt so bad that she thought she did damage to that sister that she was afraid to use that on me. So I don't think she used a hanger to try to get rid of me, but she wished it. And in my sensitivities as a in utero, see, the baby is not in the body. That's the thing. The baby is not in the body. There's a spiritual law that no two souls can operate the same space and time at the same time. So the baby is not in the body. The baby is hovering ahead. And the baby is connected to the mother and can channel into like cravings and everything. But it's not from within the body, because that's impossible. That's one thing. But so she tried to kill the fetus that held my DNA and all my records and all my Akashic records and was being formulated. She tried to kill me she wanted to fall down the steps. She tried to do bad things to herself. She tried to pickle me. I should have been a fetal alcohol baby. The only reason I'm normal, if I am normal, I don't think I'm normal. I think there's something really wrong with me. But so that was from the extreme alcoholism, where she was drunk most of my time in gestation. So because she wasn't allowed to make, she didn't have the freedom to make that agreement to just get rid of me.
Yeah.
She was abusive to me in utero, and she made agreements that might have damaged my psyche more than just, if she would have like just flushed me out, that would have been less damage to the psyche than what I had endured.
Like
this way.
Okay.
So it would have been the easy way out for me as well. I didn't want to be there.
Okay. So to keep on the topic though, so had your mother had done that, would you have simply incarnated in similar but slightly different circumstances?
Yes. So here's how I know this. So when I was in my 20s, all I ever wanted to do was be a mother. I wasn't taught, you know, I was smart when I was a kid, and I was talented and stuff, but they never thought to like direct me towards, you know, higher education or whatever. My mother would just tell all these fishermen that, because we lived in a bait store, wow, she's going to make a nice wife, isn't she? She's going to be a good lady one day, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, the things that mothers say about their daughters.
You say that and laugh.
So anyways, so all I ever wanted to do and anything I was ever given permission to do was to be a mother. So when I was 21, my first boyfriend was an asshole. Everybody else knew it, but he was the only one who was attracted to me. And it was like, and so he was all that I could get. And other people said I could get more, but I think the spirit guides kept me from like being promiscuous and everything. So I didn't attract anyone, but I attracted this guy and he was an asshole. And so we lived together and I got pregnant. And at first I was like really excited for the first week and stuff. And I was like, wow, I get to be a mother. I'm so excited. But then there was a few times in my life that the adepts came through in that time. Now the adepts are around all the time, talking to me daily, but back then they only came through when they really needed to get their lessons in. And they came through and they basically told me what it was. It's like, this dude is an asshole. Even the adepts thought so. He was a juvenile delinquent. His he had actually stolen from old ladies, and he had like created a fire on a train, and he had done these stupid things, and he hit his mother in front of me, and he hit me too, and he actually fractured one of my ribs over my heart. There's a chip in one of my ribs from him and stuff. So so when I was pregnant with him, the adults told me, they said, if you have this baby, it's going to be just like the father. This is a karmic bond for him. There's no love bond with you. This is not a love bond. There's two kinds of babies. There's love bonds and there's karmic bonds. This is not your karma to carry. You can walk away and he'll have that experience, right? Yep. And so I agreed to have an abortion.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny when I did, because I went to this abortion clinic with him, and the doctors kept... And the girl who was my roommate was from India. And she was like, we were so lovely. We were the only two there who weren't really sad and everything. So she was telling me all about in India. I don't know if this is true, but this is what she told me. This is girl talk. That in India, the girls would abort there because they were forced marriages.
Yeah.
In India, the girls would abort their husbands' babies and they would keep the pregnancies of their lovers, the ones they really loved and stuff. And she's telling me this and I'm laughing and we're giggling and laughing, and they had doctors come in and keep picking in. They go, is everything okay in here? We hear sounds. And they were like, so that little amount of joy and that heaviness was so attractive to even the doctors that they were like happy and whatever about it. So I guess I was doing healing work even back then and breaking through. Maybe I had to have that abortion so I would have the story to tell. Or so I had to break through the heaviness of the abortion.
Yeah.
So we went through the process and you know, it was okay, but my He was a real asshole. So as soon as we got home, I have to vent. As soon as we got home from the clinic, he got on the phone before anything and called his two friends who both had pregnant girlfriends and told them how easy it was to have an abortion. And he was bragging up a storm at how he had got me to have the abortion. And it was like, that's not the cool thing to do. That's not cool, you guys. So anyways, but he was an asshole. And he had, we had basically decided to break up. That was the experience I needed with him. And maybe that was my karmic connection with him, is to just have that interlude and stuff.
Yeah.
And so what's interesting, I saw the same guy who I was going to have a baby with, and he had a 4-year-old kid with him.
Mm-hmm.
That was the same soul that was going to be my burden. This
right.
kid was going to deplete me, and I wouldn't be able to do my work now because he was going to drain me. And I saw him talking with his father, and he had come through as a karmic bond with the father, which he needed.
Yep.
And I just had that fleeting moment to show me that, no, you didn't kill anything. And then, so a couple years ago, I actually went on Facebook to look up the father, and I found the son there.
Yep.
And he's like a depressed soul, and he just lives at home, and he's got depressing Facebook pages and stuff. But that would have been my kid. That would have been my life.
Yep.
And it was like, look at what you did. You dodged it.
Okay. So the important thing here is that the adepts came to you and gave you the choice and said, you don't have to do this. There are consequences if you carry it forward. So that's one thing. The second thing...
Well, it was more than giving me a choice.
Yep.
The adepts wanted.
Yep.
I suspect the adepts have been putting in overtime, keeping me alive and keeping me balanced and keeping me.
And
at
we're,
that point,
and we're all
like,
grateful for that.
Thank you. But I think at that point it was a project like, we're not just going to let our project go. This. She's got work to do and we're not going to let it go down this. This is, they don't swear, but this is bullshit, guys. Let's give her the download and stuff.
Okay. So there was that aspect. And the other aspect is that the soul incarnated in any case
yes.
to have the experience.
Yeah.
Okay. So, go ahead.
So that's why lots of religions don't want you to believe in reincarnation. That's the only reason they don't want you to believe in reincarnation, is so they can prevent you from having abortions and they can keep their numbers up in a way. Because if I see everyone's past lives, everybody has past lives,
yeah.
and I see, and it's like, how can you not know your past lifetimes? It's like you're a whole book. You're not just this chapter that started like 20 years ago or 40 years ago. And trying to know who you are based on one chapter of the book, it's like trying to... If you tuned into any classic and you try to sum up the main character within a chapter within the middle of the book, you would not know who that person is.
Yeah.
And so how can people figure out who they are based on this one lifetime? So it's really important that they let themselves explore their past experiences and not hold themselves to that psychic manipulation that they've lived only one lifetime.
Yeah. All right. So it does then bring us into another topic area, which you have a particular perspective on. And I'm just going to share with you what
Wait, we're not done with this one. There's a little bit more we have to say.
Okay.
So I've had healing sessions with, there have been lifetimes where I was aborted in past life experiences. But in those cases, that happened because sometimes there's a karmic connection with the parent to just pass through and just like connect with them in that, like being their fetus or whatever, and having them lose a baby and having them experience that loss or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're done and you're out of there. So to like, make someone prolong that experience by living through that whole lifetime is just like watch them paint dry. It's not necessary. You can get in, you can get out, but it's up to the individuals to decide. Because having a baby is a choice because it's an agreement.
Yep.
And if the fetus and the mother decide that it's not right for them,
yep.
they can decide to change it.
Yep.
And that's their spiritual right. Right.
Right. And so that's a good segue into where I was going to go next, which is, and I'm going to share with you what my understanding has always been. And I know what your response is because we talked about this off camera. So, but it's important that, well, let me ease into the conversation by sharing what my historical understanding was of the birthing process. Okay. So, I have always understood that the soul enters the fetus somewhere at the beginning of the third trimester. And so, okay, so you're going to respond. I know that. And so the conventional wisdom was, aborting, late term abortion is, ethically, wrong. So, okay, so I'm going to hand over. So all I've described to you was what I have traditionally understood, and that traditional understanding is probably quite prevalent,
mm-hmm.
and it probably underpins a reasonable chunk of people's view on the topic. And so please provide us, the alternative, the vantage point that what do you say about this?
So in the book of Genesis, when God made man, he made man out of the earth and dust. He made the body first. He formulated the earth and dust, and then he blew life into it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make the body and the dust. The life wasn't in the dust.
Right.
And then when he made woman out of the rib, the same thing, he blew life into it.
Yep.
So life doesn't enter the body, which is made of just clay, the clay temple, until the breath of life comes in.
Yeah.
And the reason why third term abortions, yeah, it is wrong. If the baby takes the first breath of life,
yeah,
then the soul enters it. That's when it's wrong. So these nasty things where you see a baby crying in the garbage, that is murder.
Yeah.
If the baby has taken its breath and its soul is in the body,
yeah,
and then it breathes in life, then the soul and the body are connected, and then it is murder. But there's an understanding, and then there's because people aren't used to humans having the ability to discern, they tell them what to do. So it's you can't, and in the law, you can't take a case-by-case study. It's if a woman is, killed and her baby is ripped out of her body, and it can, that is murder because that's not her agreement, right? It's
right.
Her agreement. But and then if the baby cries, then that's a second murder because then there is two souls involved. But it's if the baby's taken out of her body without her choice, then it is murder.
Yep.
But if she decides that it's not right for her to raise the baby,
yep,
and she ends it before the lungs and the heart, the yep, lungs are formed, then it's not murder.
Okay.
You see?
Mm-hmm. All right. That's, I knew this was coming because we talked about it off camera, but it was important that you had the opportunity to share that understanding. So thank you for that. So what else do you want to say on the topic?
Well, it's just, if people could dissipate the psychic energy of it, because mm-hmm, there's caveats in religions, and I've been in religions. I was born Catholic. I was, I was devout no matter what I believed in. I was devout.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not allowed to think for yourself, if it's considered a sin to just think for yourself, then that's a form of enslavement. And I know a lot of people who are looking for truth, and if they go to their priest and then And the priests don't have the answers they want because they have a directive to, or whatever. Whoever's in a group, your directive is to propagate the teachings of that group.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of times spiritual growth happens outside of a group, because any group that you're in is invested in you being a part of the group.
Yep.
Your energy is feeding the group. So if you want to grow as a spiritual being, you have to take back all your energy for yourself so you can discern for yourself, so you can operate on your own demise, for you can release all the control in your Akashic records, so you can dissipate all the psychic energy that's trying to manipulate you from being a sovereign being. But this is the way of the lower worlds. So something that happened that functioned well in the third dimension may not be functioning well in the fifth dimension. And we're all in the fifth dimension now. We just don't realize it because we took our crutches, our engrams, things that are comforting us, into the fifth dimension so we could release them at will. So the more that we're able to challenge the things that are non-negotiable, those are the things you have to look at if you want freedom.
Yeah. Like,
what are you willing to surrender as far as beliefs and challenges? If you think about it, even the word God, everyone says, I can let go of everything but God, right? Well, even the word God is a lower world word.
Mm-hmm.
Source is different from God. God has thought form around it. So even the concept of God was made through the minds of man.
Yes.
God is even more expansive than the word God can fathom.
Yeah.
So if you attach the word God or any label, labels are all formed in the mental realms.
Yeah.
And people are trained that the universal mind is God, and it's not. That's like a cap on your spirituality. The goal is to get beyond the worlds of duality, which is beyond the control of the mind, and get into the worlds of pure positive, which feel like a nothingness.
Yep. And I'll remind the listener that we did a podcast about a month ago, month and a half ago maybe. Title of that podcast episode was What God Looks Like. So if listeners are interested in the God topic and the perspective on that, that's a great podcast episode.
How do you remember all this? I can't remember what we talked about 5 minutes ago. And you remember everyone in these private sessions that I put up on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know all my clients and you say, yeah, there was, I remember Angela, she had a great session with you and now she bought and you know these people. And it's like, that's great. I wish I could keep it all like that. And people would be impressed at how well you know of them through their sessions and such.
Well, I spend a lot of time and effort on keeping genuine healing up and running and so on. So, very good. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap this episode up?
Yeah, I just want to explain. I used to tap around other people's belief systems. I used to not say anything. And there's a lot of people out there who won't. So they said, well, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to interfere with their path to God or their path to truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that point of view too. I understand that. But when that person is being controlled by another energy that is using their innocence, using their trust as a weapon to have them diminish others.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of control in this lower worlds to keep us enslaved to the lower worlds, is to pit them against us. And so we're weaponizing our God. We're having our truth weaponized to prevent us from from expanding beyond the limitations of this world. So just pay attention to that. When someone is set in their ways and won't listen, there's something there that's preventing them from, it's almost like they're locked and loaded. And if they're locked and loaded, that means they're like kind of like a weapon.
Yes, and what was I going to say about that? I mean, I often observe on social media tribalism. So people tend to, take a polar position and a very strongly articulated polar position, not because they've thought about it so much. It's just that it's primal tribal instinct, belonging to, one camp or the other. And we've spoken about this before on various things, and generally your comment is take the energy out of it. So just withdraw your energy from it, because the more you engage in it, this side of the debate or polemic or this side, you're feeding energy in that sort of, amplifies it. So, the idea is to take your energy out of it, to take energy out of it.
And it's a calculated technique. Mm-hmm. When anyone tries to make you afraid of anything, anything, what they're doing is they're trying to induce you into primal fear, which is using the reptilian brain. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're induced into primal fear, there's two responses, fight or flight. You can't think. You can't think in primal mode. Yep. So if you're reacting to a fear, that means you've dropped out from rationalizing.
Yep.
And then what people do when they're not able to think for themselves is they confuse opinions for truth, which they're not. And if they're reacting, they take any truths around them. Mm. And that's what happens with the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
People are induced into fear. If something's making you afraid, you drop it into primal mode, you're fight or flight. Yeah. You're either going to fight against something or you're going to run away, and you're not able to think for yourself. And that's why the conspiracy theories get such a hold here.
Yeah.
People are in reactionary mode, and they have to figure out how they're being manipulated and stop. That would be a great t-shirt. Stop.
I love the way you do that. Thank you so much, Jen. Thank you, little Jen. Thank you, Gunter. Thank you, audience.
Thank you, Marvin.
The usual, please like, comment. I'm going to be really interested to see the comments on this one.
They're going to either eat us up. They're going to either unsubscribe, attack. I don't think they'll attack. I've gotten attacked a lot on social media through the years writing about, hanger baby. I wrote about my sister and how she was a hanger baby.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people appreciated the truth being out there because they have no reference points.
Yeah.
Society erases anything it doesn't like on this topic. Mm. So.
Yeah. Look, my prediction is that we're not going to get a whole bunch of unsubscribes. We might get some thoughtful comments, but I will be interested in the comments. But in any case, thank you, Jen. Thank you, little Jen. Thank you, Gunter. Thank you, listeners. Please like, share, subscribe, comment. Bye for now.
Bye for now. Your home.
please. Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, please.